So I was praying this week. I was just asking the Lord, you know, what does he want to share? And I just started with thinking, and Nikki and I were chatting about some things. We started just thinking about God things, as you do when you're trying to prepare a message from God. You start to think about God things. We started to think about some of the great values that God has and some of the great kingdom values that are very different to our values. In fact, Chris spoke last night. He did awesome. He's going to take over soon. Watch out. I'll be delighted. But he is doing amazing. And he just spoke it. He just said, hey, that God has got so many things in store for us. But the big challenge is we read these things and we say, but how am I supposed to do them? And if we're not careful, we miss out the missing link or the missing person, which is the Holy Spirit. Because through him, we can do it. Without him, it's tough work. It's hard work. So we need the Holy Spirit this morning. And when the Holy Spirit comes, this is what he does. And this is what's so good about the Holy Spirit. He changes you. Anybody need change this morning? I'm not putting my hand up just for a good reason. I'm putting it up because I need it. I need change this morning. My attitudes, my thoughts, oh my goodness, some of them are very, very not good. I'll not go any further than that. Hopefully you're in the same boat as me. But he is transforming me, praise the Lord, from glory to glory. Because some of the heart issues, some of the attitudes, they need to change. But here is the goodness of God, and here is the grace of God. You come just as you are. You don't have to change to come to him. You simply come to him, realize you're false, realize that you're a sinner, and you repent, which is simply turning around. Turning around from what you've done before, knowing that your lifestyle was not right, that the lifestyle that you were living was not good enough any longer, that it wasn't good before a holy God. And as you turn around and repent, he comes and he forgives you of your sins. But here's what he doesn't do. He doesn't change you in an instant in the sense of your whole life. He changes your destiny. You're going to heaven from then on. You're now a child of God. But some of the attitudes, some of the thoughts, God is gentle. He allows those things to work out in due season and in due time when we're ready to change. And he comes alongside us with the Holy Spirit. And he says, okay, maybe we should work on this. And we're like, no, I don't want to work on it yet. And so we continue on going this way or saying this thing. But he just keeps going because he's faithful and he's kind and he's good. And then he works on that attitude. He works on that heart thing. Or maybe somebody comes to you and reveals it and you're like, whoa, I didn't realize that was there. And then God helps you and he's kind and he's generous and he's good. And this morning it's important for us to remind ourselves of kingdom values, because otherwise, guess what we do? We continue to live with our own values. And my values are not always his values. The thoughts that I have are not always his thoughts. And in fact, I need to turn around and I need to change because I want to become more like him. Remember, our goal as Christians is to become more like him. He's not to become more like us. We're to become more like him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his kindness and through his goodness, he transforms us. And so this morning I thought to myself, I want us to look at hope again. I want us to look again at hope in terms of people's lives, in terms of what messes people are going through, in terms of preparation for the future, because here's the scary reality, guys. There are going to be more messed up people coming through these doors in the next few years than you can handle. But the Holy Spirit is here, and he's the good comforter, and he's able to lead you in wise counsel, and he's able to give you love past your own love. But the truth is that there's a bunch of messes going to come that probably look a lot like you, but you're trying to cover it up really well, and so it's hard to see, but inside, it's chaos. But for the grace of God, he has transformed us, and he is still working for us, and he is generous, and he is kind. But this morning, I want us to think back, and we're going to look at a famous story this morning, the woman at the well. And I want us to think back, and I want us to remind ourselves of the grace that we have in the Lord, so that we, whenever we see those that don't look like us, smell like us, think like us, act like us, we're not put off by them, but instead, through the hope that we have found in Jesus, through the love and the grace that we have, we're able to extend something past ourselves, and through that, we will see their lives transformed. So this is who we are. John 10:10. This is the church that God is looking for. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and you may have life to the full, or life to abundance. Now, we have looked at this verse many times because this is a key verse for us in this church. It's been since the beginning of 2006 as a young adult, and it has not changed. God has continued to bring us back to this verse. But this verse has two parts, and I'm sure you've recognized it. The first half of it is not so good. The second half of it is much better. Jesus said, I've come not to bring you death, not to steal from you, not to destroy you, but I've come to give you life. But it is very clear this morning that there is two plans at work in this world. It's that straightforward. There are two plans. There is one plan that's bringing us to death, destruction, kill, destroy, steal, all of that. The place we don't want to go, ultimately hell. There's another plan that's working that's taking us to life and life to all fullness, which is salvation, resurrection, transformation, to glory, to heaven one day with him. Two very different paths. And Jesus, when he was here, all that he thought about and all that he dreamt about and all that he was dreaming of or thinking of and acting upon was the latter half. I have come to bring life and life to all fullness and to give abundant life. And the challenge that I have right from the beginning and the challenge that we must always remind ourselves of is, where do we find ourselves in the midst of this statement? Where do we find ourselves in the midst of this verse? Am I helping to direct as many people as I know towards death, destruction, and evil, or am I helping to direct them to abundant life? Now, here's where it gets sticky and tricky. If you're doing nothing, you're automatically going the wrong way. You have to purposely go a different way. Because remember what the Bible says? We're born in sin. We're born in sin. So automatically, we have been born into sin. We're not going to heaven. We have a decision to make. And it's the same for us as believers and the same for us as Christians today. We have put our trust in God. We're following after him. But our job does not stop there. The goal then of our lives is to become like Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. So we need to think like him, talk like him, act like him. It should be a number one goal. It should be the most important goal in our lives. And the challenge this morning is, how are we doing with that? How are we doing with that? Now, God is so good, and he's so faithful. Thank goodness he doesn't come with a scorecard every week and go, did you look like Jesus this week? Appearance, no. Chat, no. Thoughts, iffy. You know, love and grace towards others, not so good. I mean, thankfully, he doesn't come with that chart. Thankfully, he doesn't do that. But there will be one day where we stand and give an account of what we have done or what we have not done. And God is faithful and just in what he says is, I will judge you according to the abilities I have blessed you with, or according to the talents that you have. I won't judge you compared to somebody else. I'll judge you to what I have decided you to be, how I have crafted you, how I have molded you with the opportunities that I have given you. And that is not to scare us, but it should convict us. And conviction is a very different thing. Conviction says, draw close to me. Conviction says, be careful. Conviction says, remember you to look like me. And through the Holy Spirit, I will guide you and I will lead you. But it's important that we get to these questions and we say to ourselves, am I helping to lead strangers? Am I helping to lead family? Am I helping to lead the people around us to steal, kill, and destroy? Heaven forbid, I'm sure you're not. But am I purposely deciding to lead people into greater fullness? Because that is what God has called us to. This is not to put us down. This is actually to encourage us. We can lead people into fullness of life through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do we do it? We're going to look at the story of the woman in the well in a moment. Because Jesus leaves wonderful examples for us to follow and say, you can do similar things. You can do things like this. In fact, not only can you do them, but you can do greater things than me. This is the goodness of God. He says, I will promote you so you'll even do greater things than me. So this morning, how are we directing people? How are we helping people? I think we can all agree this morning, and it's important that we recognize this probably on a daily basis, that none of us are quite perfect yet. I want to believe that, but I'm not quite there yet. So I think we'd agree that's not it yet. I think we can agree yet at this moment that we're probably still on a journey, and all of us are different parts of the journey. I think we can agree that. I think we can agree this morning that we need encouragement from many different sources this morning. We just need it. We need someone to give us a text. We need someone to phone us. We need someone to be there for us in all the different seasons of life. And here is what I have found. Whenever we go in the abundance that we have in Christ, and we love the unlovable, and we hug the unhuggable, and we talk to those that aren't the person that we really want to talk to, and we spend time with the person that smells really bad, or is not the same as us, or doesn't look like us, doesn't act like us, we have the power inside of us because of the Holy Spirit to change their lives. Amen? That's what we have. But if we don't do that, then who is going to change their lives? Tell you who's going to do it. The first part, the enemy. He's going to come and kill, steal, and destroy for them. Do you know what everybody's really looking for? Irresistible grace and incredible love. Incredible love. Everybody, God has built into each one of us this choice idea. This idea that I can choose. But for some of us, choice has been removed. But for all of us, no matter rich or poor, no matter intelligent or unintelligent, the good news of the gospel is simple enough that even a child can grasp it if we're willing to share it. So no matter where someone finds themselves, in a prison, in a ghetto, in the gutter, in a house with no opportunities, in a family where it's just full of sickness and disease, once the gospel is presented to them, they have the opportunity of eternal life. And no matter where they have started from, no matter where they find themselves, they can receive it because it's a free gift. It's a free gift and it's open to all. And God has given us this wonderful opportunity if we'll be able to look past the exterior and say, wow, I wonder what God could do through me to help that person transform into the very likeness of God. I wonder how he can continue to mold me so I can love and encourage and be a blessing just like him. This morning, if we remind ourselves and encourage our hearts that but for grace, where would we be? Then no one is past the point of grace that we will reach. There is no one that we will meet that is beyond his love. There is no one that we will meet that we cannot share. But the encouragement is we've got to recognize that and then we've got to do something with it. So I encourage you this morning. We are not just here to just wait. We are here on a mission to transform and change the community and the people around us. So let's think about the woman at the well this morning. An incredible story. I think we've shared about it a few times over the last few weeks, but it's just been in my heart, and thankfully no one's really went into it too deeply because otherwise they would have stole my joy this morning. But the woman at the well is an incredible story. I want to go into it a tiny bit today, and I believe there is so much for us to learn. Let me read the first four or five verses of John 4 this morning. It's only recorded in one gospel, and yet it's such a fascinating story. And let me just add a disclaimer this morning. It's one of those stories that, as a Christian sometimes, and you're not going forward in your faith, and you're maybe just not sharing the way you should be, and you're not praying the way you should be, it's one of those stories that's going to convict you. It's one of those stories where you're going to go, I wish it wasn't there. Was Jesus really that good? Was he really that kind? You're going to wish it wasn't there, but trust me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can go and do likewise. So allow that conviction to come and allow the Lord to change you. Here's what it says, John chapter 4, verse 4. We can look at it together. You can read it on your phone. For sake of time, we won't read the whole passage because it would take too long, but I encourage you to read it later on. It says this, now he had to go through Samaria. Other verses will say Jesus, he had to do this, or he must go this way. Now he didn't have to. It wasn't a place that many Jews would go because there was a lot of animosity between the two groups, but he said he needed to. Because remember, you must always remember what Jesus' ultimate goal is to find the lost, is to see lost people come to life. What is our ultimate goal? Challenge your heart with that this morning. Challenge your heart with that every day. Now, he had to go through Samaria. His life depended on it. He had a mission to fulfill. He had a purpose to go after. Verse 5. So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Remember, God does everything intentionally. Jesus has purpose for everything. Every word that is here is to perk our attention and to grab our attention in a certain way. So don't miss anything. It says, this is the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. There was a well there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noontime. That's important. Important to remember the well. Important to remember noontime. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Verse 8. His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. We'll leave it there for just a moment. So let's just set the scene. Jesus has been on a journey. John chapter 1, 2, and 3, he's been on a journey of faith. He's walking through. He's going to different towns. He's been to Galilee. He's been to different places. And now he is going on a fresh journey, and he's trying to get from point A to point B. And he says to himself, unlike what everybody else would do, I'm going to go through Samaria. I'm going through Samaria. Now, it wasn't a done thing. It wasn't a place that many would go. Why was that? Because the Samaritans or the Samarians had a bit of a thing with the Jews. They were supposed to be on the same page. They were supposed to be following after the same God, but instead of following after the same God, it was true to say that the Samaritans had a form of godliness, but they weren't following the one true God. They were there when it was suited them, but they did horrible things as well. And so the Jews backtracked from them, and they says, well, hey, that's not who we're called to be. And in essence, some of it was right, but some of it was wrong. Because instead of then going in to make a difference in the Samaritan's life, they pulled away and said, we won't let them make a difference on us. I want to encourage you this morning that if God is with you, that greater is he that's in you than anybody else in the world. So when God is for us and we're walking in the Holy Spirit, we will always make the difference in somebody else's life. They will not be able to make the difference in our life unless we let them. That's the bottom line. because we are powerful in him and we have the Holy Spirit with us. So Jesus decides this day because remember, his heart is to save nations. His heart is to transform lives. His heart is to save the one. And so he decides this day, I'm going through Samaria. Now, the disciples would have been freaking out because this is not what you do. These Samaritans, they didn't even help us build the temple. They're useless. They don't even help us do things. But Jesus said, they're worth it because I've come to die for them. They didn't quite understand yet. And church, this morning, we may not be able to understand why a certain person comes to church or how they would ever get saved. But you know what we need to do? We need to ask then Jesus in that moment, say, Jesus, give me faith to believe. Holy Spirit, give me eyes to see because I cannot get my head around why they would be here or how they would ever get saved or they have done this or they have done that. And there's a lot of history and there's a lot of tradition here, but God, I've got to trust you because you're able to win anyone. Help me to be a vessel for you. Help me to make the difference. Remember, guys, our job is not to be a judger. Our job is to be a proclaimer. Our job is to be a proclaimer of the good news. We're to be ambassadors of Christ. We are not refusers. We are people that sets people free because of the good news of Jesus. So he decided, I'm going through Samaria. Point number one, and the first thing I want us to think about this morning, is that we must be intentional. And let's set out the scene of what Jesus did. He goes alone to the well, and he send his disciples away. That will be important later, so remember that information. He goes alone to the well, and he sends his disciples away. There's purpose for that. He goes to the well, and he goes at the wrong time of the day. He goes at noontime, which is the hottest part of the day, so the crowds don't come at that time. But remember, Jesus has an ultimate goal and he has an ultimate purpose because he knows this, that the people that will come at noontime will be the rejects of the rejects. Because the Samaritans will come at different times, but the rejects of the Samaritans will come at that time. So the worst of the worst will come at noontime. Jesus knew that. Everybody would have known that. So for him to stop at noontime would be to risk his reputation, would be to risk his rabbi status, would be to risk the opinions of others, would be to risk, oh my goodness, what could happen? What will people say? Can I encourage you this morning, when you know that your identity is secure in God, and when you know that you are a child of God, you will do things that are risky, that might risk your reputation. I mean, think about it. Back in those days, Jesus the rabbi, and he's going to meet with a woman. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. And she's one of the worst of the worst. And we'll go into the story in a moment where you will hear how bad she is. And yet Jesus says, I've got hope for you. I know what's inside of me. I know the Holy Spirit that's inside of my life. I know the news that I will share with you. I know that I can see your life turned around because I know the God that works through me. And church, this morning, we must realize we're going to be called to situations. We're going to be called to people's homes. We're going to be called into different scenarios. That is not our first choice. But because our ultimate goal is to see lives transformed, we'll go anyway. And through God's love and through his grace, we will see lives transformed. So Jesus goes at the worst time, but he's got a plan, and it's a plan to do something. He's hoping to transform a rejected people, and so he goes at the most opportune time to meet those people. It seems crazy that Jesus is actually after the worst of the worst. I mean, sometimes when we've gone on mission trips, we'll be honest, we go after the people that we know is probably going to give us an opportunity and we're going to be able to pray with them. I mean, there's some people you just know, they're probably going to cry if we pray with them. It's going to make me feel good. Amen. We did something awesome today. But Jesus didn't. He was just like, I'm going after the prostitutes. I'm going after the nameless woman because she doesn't even get a name in the scripture today. She doesn't even get a name. She's a woman. She doesn't even get a name. I'm going after her. I'm going after the tax collector. I'm going after the worst of the worst because I know my grace is the best. I know my grace is the best. I'm going after the sinners because I know my grace can transform any heart and any life. And if we get into it this morning, we have all fallen short of the goodness of God. We have all fallen short. So even though the exterior might be worse than somebody else, we all need his forgiveness. We all need his transformation. I wonder why Jesus goes after this woman. I wonder why he goes after her. Can I suggest one thing? Because he knows if he goes after the worst of the worst and his grace works for them, then it can work for anyone. Think of the ripple effects that it's going to add in the community, and we'll read it later, what happens because of this woman getting an encounter with Jesus. Don't be afraid to go into the dark places. Don't be afraid to go to the places that nobody else wants to. Don't be afraid to go and meet with those that nobody else wants to, because his grace is so good. His grace is so good. So Jesus meets the woman. He spends some time with them. spend some time. They spend some time together. And she starts to reveal a story, and he starts to talk to her. And he starts to share to her. He says, hey, would you give me a drink? And she says, what? Would you? Would I give you a drink? Do you not understand that you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan? We're not supposed to associate. We're not supposed to hang out. But Jesus doesn't care. He's after people like that. We're not supposed to care. We're after people like that. That's not like us. That doesn't look like us. That's not from the same background as us. We're after them because God is after them. He says, but you don't understand. Like, we're not supposed to communicate. Jesus says, he doesn't say it, but by his actions, he doesn't care. He doesn't mind because he wants to see her life transform because he loves her regardless. He turns around and he says, hey, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. And she says, really? And he says, yes. If you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. And the drink that I would give you would be everlasting life. Wow. Everlasting life. Because that day, the woman comes to the well looking for a drink, but she doesn't realize that she's going to come to another well, which is Jesus Christ, and he's going to offer her a drink where she will never be the same again. Can I encourage you this morning that your life is a well? Can I encourage you this morning that your life is a well? And so therefore, we should be allowing people to come to our lives. We should be allowing people to come to our light because this well that's inside of us, the Holy Spirit, not only wants to transform us, it wants to transform them. You see, this lady came to a well because it's what everybody does. You go to a well to get a drink. She didn't come with everybody else because she was ashamed. She was rejected. Jesus goes on to ask her and says, hey, where's your husband? She says, I don't even have a husband. He says, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the guy that you're with at the moment isn't even your husband. She's like, wow, you must be a prophet. And here's what I love about Jesus, is that he doesn't start off with her sin. He starts off with the love that he has for her. And how do we know that she finds him irresistible? Because when Jesus shares the truth with her, she doesn't run away. If you share truth with people and they start to run away, then we should say, maybe I didn't show enough love, or well, what was going on there? Maybe I could have been more gracious. But Jesus was irresistible. And we need to know this morning that what we have in him is irresistible. The good news that we have inside of us does not need to be locked up. It needs to be poured out. The love that we have received, that irresistible grace, that unconditional love that we have inside of us, it must get out because everybody is looking for that. Everybody is looking for that, even when they don't know it. Remember, all the woman was looking for was a drink. And then Jesus challenged her and said, hey, but if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. I wonder, could anybody come to us this morning? I wonder would anybody come to us this morning? Or I wonder would we ever get ourselves in the situation that we would be at the well, we would be at the meeting place where the sinners meet, where we would be at the place where the rejected come to. I wonder would we be at that place to be able to share that comment that would bring the life that it needs to bring. She came looking for a drink, and Jesus said, but if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. In that moment, Jesus was giving her a truth that she had never realized before. She thought, you come to this well every day. That's how your life gets satisfied. She thought, when you're needy and when you need to get satisfied, when you're empty, you come to the well every day. And Jesus said, I have a greater truth for you. It's a greater truth that all of us have accepted if we know Christ, but it's one that we need to remind ourselves. He said, I've got a greater truth for you. You can come to this well every day, but it will not transform your life. Or you can come to my well, because I am the well, and you can drink from me, and you will never thirst again. In other words, you will find that spiritual satisfaction that you're longing for. You will find that freedom. You will find that I will take away your sins. You will find that brand new life in me. You will know that you are a new creation. You will never be the same again. You will find that even though people reject you, you have found a hope and a love that says that I am accepted by Jesus. I am accepted by the King of Kings. I am accepted by the Lord. It's amazing when you add love to a situation, how much that situation turns around. It becomes nothing like it was before. This woman was a woman who liked men. She had five husbands. The guy that she was with, she wasn't even married to. I think even by today's standard, that's pretty radical. She was a good girl. You know what I mean? She'd had a lot of husbands. By today's standards, I think that's even pretty radical. This is a couple of thousand years ago. She was radical. And yet Jesus went to find her. Jesus, think about this. She didn't find him. Jesus went to find her. Remember, it says that he was already at the well, and then she came and met him at the well. Are we going to find, or are we waiting to be found? You see, we're the found ones. Everybody that doesn't know Jesus are the lost ones. So the found go to find the lost. It's just the way it works. It's just the way it works. It's the way it needs to work. How are we doing in our pursuit of the lost ones? How are we doing in our gaze of the lost ones? How are we doing in our judgments of the lost ones? Because I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I would have been as good and as kind as Jesus. I would have probably said, she's too hard to work. I'm going to go find somebody else with just three husbands. That would do me. I'm going to go and find somebody that's just had a few issues, not five husbands and still looking for number six. Yeah, I can't cope with that. But Jesus says, no, no, no. It's not about her. It's about what's inside of me. And can I encourage you with the truth that God wants to reveal into all of our hearts? It's not about them. It's all about him. It's the life. It's the hope of glory that's inside your life that transforms every heart if we let it move, if we let it go through acts of kindness, through love, through generous conversation, through spending time. Did that woman ever meet anyone at that well ever before? I would hazard a guess that she never met anyone, because remember, she's a rejected of the rejected, so she went purposely at a time that nobody else went. Noontime is the hottest time of the day. She went when she knew no one would be there because nobody accepts her. And now she goes to the well, and I'm sure she must have been surprised because there's Jesus sitting there, and he came to meet her. Reminds you of a lot of stories, Zacchaeus. Reminds you of a lot of stories right through the Bible of when Jesus took time to go and meet with those that nobody else wanted to meet with, because he wanted to prove and show it's not about them, it's all about what's inside of me. And if I can get that out, it will transform and change any life. We have transformation in our hearts. We have the life of God in our heart. The woman goes and she meets Jesus, and then she says, okay, this is what I need. Can I read the verse to you? This is what she says. He says, the woman said, verse 15, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. She said, Jesus said to her, go call your husband. And she says, okay. The woman answered, said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have said well, because I have had no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you're with is not even your husband at this moment. In that you speak truly. The woman said to her, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Then it comes up. She says to him, she says, sir, give me this water that I won't thirst again. I need that. I need that. And I want you to see this morning in the order in which Jesus brings the truth. He gives her love, love, love. He spends time with her. He speaks to her. He references her. He accepts her. He talks to her. She talks to him. He responds back to her. And then after all of it has been revealed to her, then he says, but hey, I need to reveal your sin too. Because unless you know where you are, you'll never be able to accept my forgiveness. You'll never be able to accept my goodness. And notice, when he shares it, she just doesn't even think about running away. In fact, later on when she does go away, she says, you've got to come and see this man who told me everything I've ever done. The shame and the past that she never spoke of now becomes her testimony. This is what happens when we meet Jesus. You see, the things that used to shame you, the things that the devil used to beat you up with, the things that used to destroy your life now become your testimony, which now gives opportunity for somebody else's destiny to change forever. Change forever. Can I encourage your heart this morning that your testimony, although it may not be what you hoped for, although it may not have been what you wanted to do, now becomes God's glory in the future? Every testimony that's revealed in Jesus' name becomes the opportunity for somebody else to get saved. That woman, the nameless woman, doesn't even have a name. That woman that nobody else wanted to meet, but Jesus suddenly becomes number one evangelist in the village, in the town. Everybody wants to get saved now, because they said if he could work it for her, he can work it for me, because she was the worst, or at least they thought she was the worst, and yet his love still transformed. His love still transformed. You see, maybe this morning, church, we've got it all back to front. We're trying to figure out who's worser, you know, not even a word. Who's more bad than the other? Is she worse than me? Is he worse than me? Because it makes me feel better. We've got the whole thing back to front. We've got the whole thing crazy wrong. We should be saying, hey, there's nothing too hard for him. The same love that transformed me, the same grace that saved me, is the same grace that's going to transform you. In fact, we should be excited. It should be like going fishing. We should look for the biggest, baddest fish, and we should try to hook it and say, I'm going to catch that fish. We should go for the biggest, baddest one, and we say, I'm going to get that for His glory and for His name, because I know that that person can be transformed by the goodness of God that's in my life, and from my testimony, they can receive Jesus too. See, we can start to think the wrong way, which is we focus on them instead of focusing on Him. We need to focus on Him, because as we focus on Him, He changes anyone that bows the knee, anybody that repents. And it's through our kindness, it's through our love, it's through our grace, it's through an extension of the goodness of God that He has poured into our lives that we're going to see lives turned around. Can I finish off with one more group? And then I'm going to get the guys to come and play us out. But there was one more group that got sent away. Do you remember them? The disciples. They're Jesus' guys. They're the guys that are in training. You know, they're the church guys. But Jesus sent them away. Remember, He does everything intentionally. And guess what He does? He sends them away. Now, why does He send them away? Let me show you why He sends them away. Verse 27, Jesus has to send them away. He said, at this point, His disciples came back. They have been fed. They've been watered. And look at this. They marveled that He talked with a woman. They marveled that He talked with a woman. They were shocked. They were radically shocked that He would talk. Not to mention she was a Samaritan, but she's a woman as well as a Samaritan. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than this. Yet no one said anything, because who knows that sometimes even though what you're thinking, you better not say it out. But the Holy Spirit knows, and this is what they write in the book, forever recorded. What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Or let's bring it up in today's language. Oh my goodness, what's He doing with her? Oh my goodness, is He not worried about His reputation? Oh my goodness, what's people going to say? Oh my goodness, we wouldn't talk to her. She's terrible. She's this, she's that. I've heard awful stories about her. I wouldn't talk to her in a million years. But they don't say a word, because they know too well that Jesus will correct them. He will sort them out. And sometimes He comes to us, and sometimes He speaks to us and says, why have you not shown love there? Why have you not encouraged them? Why have you not been there? Can I encourage us for a moment on this group? I wonder why He sent them away. Do you know what I think? I fully believe this morning that the reason that He sent them away is that they weren't quite ready to meet a woman like this. They weren't quite ready. And He didn't want them to get in the way of what He wanted to do through this woman. He didn't want them to get in the way. Can I suggest this morning that they were still a bit caught up in religion? That they were still a bit caught up in old tradition and old thoughts? You see, because they were born to think bad of the Samaritans. They were born to think, and rightly so, because the Samaritans had been bad people. But hey, all of us have been bad people. All of us. I mean, I'm so glad we don't get what we deserve, because none of us would be getting to heaven. And none of us deserve His grace, but because of His goodness, He extends that grace. And so this morning, why did He send them away? You know what I believe? They weren't quite ready yet. They were still full of religion. Can I encourage you this morning? Jesus wants to work through your life. But religion is going to block you from seeing what you need to see. Instead of seeing their sins, Jesus saw what she could become. Instead of getting bamboozled by all the crazy things that she had done and how she was still acting in her life, instead of thinking how terrible she was and how she could never be turned around, Jesus didn't think like the religious disciples. And they were with the one true God, the resurrection, the truth, and the life. But they were still growing. Gives us hope. They were still growing. But when they came back, they marveled because they could not believe what had happened. Jesus had talked to a woman, heaven forbid, a Samaritan woman, heaven forbid, even more. And He had transformed her because of the grace and the love that He had. And now this woman goes and does incredible things. Let me finish off with what she does. It says this, verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in Him because of the word of the Samaritan woman who testified. Her shame that she never spoke of now becomes her testimony. Your testimony is vital. He told me all I ever did. His loving kindness, His unbelievable grace, even when truth is revealed, will not cause you to run away. It will cause you to run in, because His love is so good. His love is so great. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritan had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. You're not supposed to hang out with Samaritans. Jesus doesn't care. I'm going to reap a harvest. I'm going to reap a harvest. And many more believed because of His own word. That whole nation, that whole region, that whole rejected people that people that no one ever went to, that people that the Jews didn't care of, didn't love of, actually hated, that whole people were unlocked because of Jesus meeting with a rejected, unnamed woman at a well at noontime. Oh my goodness, there are no limits to what God wants to do. No limits. I wonder who are the people that God has put in your path. I wonder where your well is. Can I encourage you with this morning? I wonder where your well is as a believer in Jesus. Is it in work? Is it within your family? Is it on the streets? Is it all of those things? But where is your well this morning? Because God has a well for you. And when you get to the well, remember this. People come to the well because they come looking for satisfaction. They come because they're empty. They come because they thought they could find what they need there. What they're really looking for is Jesus. And when you get there, suddenly you become the well. Suddenly you become the life source. Suddenly you become Jesus in the flesh. And you're able to share your testimony that once brought shame to you, now brings victory to everyone. And suddenly lives get transformed and everybody gets changed. I wonder this morning, which one are we in the story? We can either be the woman. That's fine. Jesus will meet you. We can either be the disciples, but be careful because you're walking with Jesus, but he's having to send you away at occasions because there's still religion in your life. Get back to him and ask him to reveal more of that and ask him to get rid of that because it's going to hold you back from reaching the Samaritans. It's going to hold you back from reaching the nameless woman. It's going to hold you back from being used by God in the way that he needs to use you. Remember, he wants to use all of us. He wants to use all of us. Or are we, Jesus, able to be a friend to both? Able to be a teacher and an encourager, able to be a rescuer and a savior. Where do we find ourselves this morning? Can we stand together? We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Come on, let's just close your eyes just for a moment this morning. Let's get locked in with us and God. I mean, the Bible never tells us to close our eyes, really, but I find that if we don't do it, we get distracted by everything. If we don't close our eyes, we get distracted by everything. Somebody beside us, someone here, there, everywhere, phone, whatever. But when we just take a moment and just close our eyes, then suddenly we can focus on him alone. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we'd ask ourselves the question, am I still going to the well to find those who need you? Or if I find myself just wandering off, just going other places, because I've got what I need, I'm with Jesus. But the simple truth is, and the simple reality is, he's having to send us away at times because we're just not quite ready to be able to speak to those people that he needs us to. So he's having to use somebody else. Lord, I pray this morning that you are convicting us. We're asking ourselves the question, which one of the three am I? I want to be Jesus, but which one of the three am I? Lord, I want to encourage our hearts this morning. When we live like Jesus, when we live like Christ, we transform the world around us. We transform it in the same way Jesus did because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, wherever we find ourselves, if we are that woman, come to Jesus. If we are the rejected one, if we are the one full of shame, if we are the one full of sin, we come to Jesus because he transforms us in his precious name. But if we are the disciples, which many of us could be this morning, Lord, I pray this morning that there's a change that's going to take place in us. I pray this morning that we're less focused on what we see in front of us and we're more focused on what he's doing inside of us. And if we could get that out, lives would be transformed. Lives would be transformed. I want to encourage you to respond this morning. And I want us to respond specifically to the disciples because Jesus had so much more for them. But there was times he was still having to send them away because they were growing and religion was still blocking their gaze. And I'm going to encourage you to be bold this morning. I'm going to encourage you to indicate this morning. And maybe this morning you just want to raise your hand or you just want to lift your hand and you just want to say, you know what? I need the Holy Spirit to do more in me. I don't want to be one of the sent away ones. I want to be Jesus at the well. I want to be one of those people. Maybe this morning you're going to have to be honest with yourself. You're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal some stuff. I honestly think it's probably all of us, but I'm not going to promote it unless you feel it, unless it's convicted in your spirit. But I think all of us can be guilty of, she'll never do that. He wouldn't be worth my time. She's not worth it. He's not worth it. He'll never change. She'll never change. It's really not our call. It's really not our opinion that matters. But there is life in the tongue. And there is life in the things that we say. And we're either John 10:10, leading people to abundant life, or we're hopelessly letting them float on by to death, destruction, and stealing. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray you convict us. But I wonder this morning if you want to indicate, and then we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and just take us on that further step, onto that next stage of glory, onto that next place with him. If you know that there's still some old thinking that's going on, if there's still some conviction going on, if you're feeling convicted this morning, I wonder would you indicate, just lift your hand this morning and then we're going to pray. And of course, this is not about me, but this is about Jesus. And he sees our response and he sees our heart. But I wonder this morning, if you're feeling that, if you know that, if you're ready to become more like him, if you're just saying, Jesus, I feel he's speaking to me, I want to respond to that, then just respond to it right now. Just lift your hand just for a moment. Then we're going to pray. Amen. I need you more, Lord. I need you more. I need you more. I want to be the person at the well. I don't want to be sent away. I want to be the person at the well, revealing the well to others. I need to be that person. But I need your help. I need your hope. I need your strength, Lord. If you're feeling that this morning, if you're feeling convicted this morning, just lift your hand. We're going to pray.